This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in, starting on KER Politics with Harlan Ullman right now. I trust you all watched the video of Harlan when he was on the Daily News last week. I believe it was up on Thursday. Corey put it up, if I'm not mistaken. Interesting guy. You know, we get a number of opinion. We have a number of opinions on our side about Harlan's opinions, and I have to say that where I find Harlan to be valuable is that he has walked the walk. He's walking the walk right now. He's a very valuable contact, and you need to listen, at least consider what Harlan has to say. Harlan, something that I have been terrified about for a number of years right now, being an economist, is the fact that we are running a set of numbers on the balance sheet and the income statement that point directly to failure. You look at our deficit right now. You look at the annual statements, you look at everything else, this cannot go on. Trump is a problem, etc. Politics, day in and day out in the U.S., are a problem right now. But that's not what's going to bring the nation down, I would have to say, in the foreseeable future. The deficit is. Your comments on that?
I agree. The most existential threat the nation faces is a $20-plus trillion debt and the $1 trillion-plus a year annual deficit, which is going to continue. And at some stage, interest rates are going to go up. And when they do, we're going to be in a huge amount of trouble. And I wouldn't say this is exactly Donald Trump's issue.
No.
The problem is that you have two incompetent parties. The Republican Party, which was the party of fiscal conservatism, we got to do something about spending. We've got to do something about the debt. is gone, and the Democrats better. And so I think almost irrespective of whom was president, we were headed on the same course because neither party is prepared to do what needs to be done. That is tighten the belt. We have all these other requirements to increase defense spending, which we really can't afford. And so this is not a problem of Trump and the current Congress. It's a problem of American politics today and our inability to take on issues candidly, honestly, and with some degree of political courage. Those are the issues.
Harlan, but I realized a number of years ago, the head of an organization called CPM was at a conference that I was speaking at. We hosted a private dinner after that, and he was there, and he made an interesting comment about politics in the United States. His comment was, Corlin, he said, it's real simple. The Democrats are the party of go into debt and tax, and the Republicans are the party of go into debt and put it on the balance sheet. And that's very true. Neither party has looked ahead for quite some time right now. The implications of our fiscal policy for the last number of years is absolutely terrifying to me. Because I don't Harlan, I simply don't see a solution. I mean, I'm an economist, okay? I understand numbers. I know quite a bit about accounting. And the fact of the matter is we cannot continue this way because, as I have mentioned in the past numerous times on previous shows, is the damn emperor is wearing no clothes. Is this Obama's fault? As you said, definitely not. I'm sorry, is this Obama's fault more so than Trump, I would have to say? Any opinions?
Look, this has been going on. You can say the rot really started after September 11th. Remember, Bill Clinton led a surplus in when he left office. We got into a war on terror in which we spent several trillions of dollars. Then we had the Bush tax cuts that really didn't work. Then Obama was really forced to continue. We had 2008 financial crisis in which we had to put a lot of money back into the economy. And so it was a series of events as well as presidents. And now we have the worst of all worlds. and that we're stuck. And I just don't see that no matter who's president and whomever is elected in Congress, people are going to be able to say, look, we need to tax more and we need to cut entitlements. I think that that's the problem with American politics, and it's going to take a crisis for that to turn around. Now, when this is going to hit, impossible to say. It's when interest rates go up, and that could be 6 months, it could be 6 years. But at some stage, we are going to have to make dramatic cuts because we cannot spend our way out of this with money that is invented and is not real money in the sense that it is not decreasing our debt.
Absolutely.
But merely adding to it.
No, absolutely. Of course, we can't. The fact of the matter is there is no way that we can work our way out of this problem. It's a simple income statement situation. Number one, revenues have to at least approach expenses. Our revenues are so much less than our expenses right now. And you're right, entitlements or higher taxes is the only answer. And the American people, because they have shuffled this thing under the rug, are probably going to be very hesitant to buy that. But it's the only solution. It's a basic, simple accounting issue.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we're stuck in this position, and it's not going to get better.
No, you know, it's not. And what I would like to see personally, and I'd like your opinion on this, is I'd like to see somebody like Trump. Trump has a very interesting personality. You and I perhaps may differ a little bit on his effectiveness or lack thereof. But, you know, the thing that bothers me about Trump is I've been self-employed, Harlan, for 40 years, and I have to tell you, bankruptcy on numerous occasions is something that, in my opinion, it's like you play golf with somebody who cheats. I don't want to be around people like that. I don't want to be around people, even though it's legal, who are, quote-unquote, taking advantage of the law and sticking somebody else with their debt. That's not right. And that's what Trump did, admittedly, on three or four occasions.
Well, where we are is where we are. We'll see what happens with Robert Mueller. You have this extraordinary situation in Washington with revolving doors. There's never been a time when so many senior people have been fired. Gary Cohn quit. Obviously, Rex Tillerson was dismissed. General H.R. McMaster is rumored to be on his way out. Nobody knows what's going to happen to John Kelly. And on and on and on and on and on and on. And the only people who Trump seems permanently loyal to are his daughter and son-in-law, and of course his son-in-law has lost all his clearances, so how he can function in all the roles that he has is really something that people need to be very concerned about. Where this is headed, who knows? Obviously the election, the by-election in Pennsylvania suggests that the Republicans are in great trouble with a Democrat, even though a conservative Democrat, defeating a candidate who was backed very strongly by Trump. I still think it's much, much too early to be able to know what happens in 18. But if the Republicans seize control of the House and the Senate, you can be assured that if the Democrats gain control of the House and of the Senate, you can guarantee that there will be impeachment proceedings. What will happen when they get to the Senate, who knows? It really depends on whether or not the Republicans are a substantial minority. But all that will bring forth all the issues about Donald Trump and will further cripple the administration and the government. And whether impeachment is deserved or not, this will not be good for the country.
Of course it won't be good for the country. I want to get into the subject of your opinion on whether or not impeachment is deserved or what have you. Unfortunately, right now, Harlan, we've got to take a real quick commercial break here just for a few seconds, 20 to 30. And then I would like to continue that conversation on that issue and one other issue about the president that I have that I'd like you to opine on. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. I'm going to be right back with Harlan Ullman. I also want you to take a look at Harlan's book, The Anatomy of Failure, Why the United States Has Lost Every War That It Has Ever Started. I'll provide a picture and a link of the book. I have to tell you, it's worth the read. We'll be right back.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
We'll get back with Harlan Ullman. Harlan, I got a couple of questions I have for you. Number one, I want to talk about the concept of impeachment for Donald Trump. If, in fact, the Republicans lose control of the House and the Senate, that still is up in the air. Does, in your opinion, Trump deserve impeachment? And if so, why? And if not, why?
Impeachment is really for high crimes and misdemeanors, which is a political decision. At this stage, I think he is in technical violation of the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, in in which he is benefiting financially from the presidency. How much or whether that is really impeachable is a good question. That's a political issue. I think he's an incompetent president. I think he's done real damage to the country. But incompetence is not necessarily impeachable. Now, Robert Mueller might be able to come up with charges of not collusion, because I don't think there's a crime for collusion, but certainly obstruction of justice, lying, money laundering, and other things that are real crimes and misdemeanors. So at this stage, I think it depends very much what Mr. Mueller finds. Now, remember, Bill Clinton, who was being investigated over Whitewater, was impeached by the House for lying in testimony about a relationship with Monica Lewinsky. And people can say, well, you know, that's not very, very fair. It was a personal relationship. I don't blame him. He shouldn't have done it. The special counsel was investigating Whitewater and ended up obliquely charging Clinton with something that was not within light years of White's affair with an intern. Whether Mr. Mueller finds these things in a similar fashion, I have no idea. But I think in terms of his performance of duty, he should not be president. Unfortunately, you have to argue that that's a high crime and misdemeanor, and I don't think that will sell in Congress, certainly not in the Senate, unless the Democrats would get, you know, a two-thirds majority so they could vote him out of office. So at this stage, if impeachment proceedings are filed, I think it's very unlikely that he will be impeached. I should say he will be convicted, unless, of course, Mr. Mueller can produce a smoking gun. You know, we'll see what happens.
I think we're going to see what happens. I think the next 4 years are going to be very interesting. And the reason I say that is my opinion about Donald Trump, contrary to my good friend Jim McKinney's, is I don't think Donald Trump, quite frankly, is an effective president. You know, I was chatting with a liberal friend of mine last night, and I said, you know, in terms of effectiveness, if you're a person who has a personality similar to mine, which is when I judge a person, I only judge them on two things. Aside from honesty, okay, I judge them on two things. The first one is class, and the second one is character. I don't waste my time with people that don't have those two attributes. And I think those two attributes are incredibly, critically important when it comes to the office of the President of the United States of America. Arguably, one of the strongest countries, not necessarily the strongest today, but one of the strongest countries in the world. I don't think Donald Trump has either one. Can you opine on that?
Not really.
Okay.
I won't, simply because I think in terms of performance, I think that the president has not performed admirably. He's made huge numbers of policy mistakes, abrogating climate change, withdrawing from the Trans-Pacific Trade Pact, this whole issue with tariffs. He's probably going to cancel the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, entering into negotiations with North Korea without any kind of idea of what he's going to be doing, not having full support of NATO initially. I think that these are all things that would disqualify him for being president, and I know that's not necessarily achievable under the Constitution. Now, a number of his supporters will obviously disagree. I suspect that at the end, when you count, it's probably less than 20 or 25% of people who really support him. And the majority of Americans, by every single poll, view him as a very, very, very poor president. But, repeat, the Constitution specifies high crimes and misdemeanors that can only be specified and defined by Congress. And so when Congress makes up its mind, if it does, to impeach, we will see what happens. But in performance, Donald Trump is clearly the worst president in my lifetime, and possibly one of the worst presidents, in my view, in our history.
Hillary Clinton made an interesting comment yesterday, kind of out of the blue, and she said it's a huge mistake for Donald Trump to attempt to negotiate with somebody like Kim Jong-un because, quite frankly, he doesn't have the experience. I don't agree with a lot of things that Mrs. Clinton says, but I have to say I would agree with that one. I mean, we're not talking about a deal for an apartment building in Brooklyn or Manhattan or whatever. We're talking about dealing with a guy who, I would have to say, if you don't have a little bit of knowledge about psychological strengths and weaknesses, you're dealing with a very unique individual in terms of Kim Jong-un. What are your thoughts about what Mrs. Clinton said, that he really probably shouldn't be negotiating with someone like that?
I wish that Mrs. Clinton had followed the example of her husband, of Jimmy Carter, of George W. Bush and Barack Obama, to keep her mouth shut. I think that she's sounding like sour grapes.
Of course she is, Harlan.
She ran a horrendous campaign. And sure, what she's saying is correct. There's no doubt about that. But I think it's you talked about character and class. I think that both are disqualifying in this particular case. She really does not have a platform that's very, very credible, and I think she does a disservice. I think people who are in understand these issues understand that Mr. Trump has made a big mistake in what he's done so far, and I think Hillary Clinton expressing criticism probably hurts her side, I should say the Democratic side, and those more reasonable people who also disagree with the decision the way it was made to talk to North Korea and are much more concerned about the preparations to deal with this, because you've got potentially a new Secretary of State if Mr. Pompeo was in fact confirmed in time or confirmed. The State Department has lost basically all of his experts. The National Security Council staff is very, very thin, and I'm not sure who the real people are inside government who are going to be able to prepare the groundwork for a successful negotiation. You just don't show up wherever you're going to show up, sit down, and say, let's talk. You will recall that with Richard Nixon's outreach to China, Henry Kissinger spent 2 years commuting to make a relationship with Mao and with Zhou Enlai before Mr. Nixon went to China in 1972. And this is a difficult negotiation. Apparently, according to sources, Mr. Trump does not like to read. He likes to invent his own facts, as he admitted the other day in St. Louis when he said he invented his conversation with the Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. And so unless he's highly prepared, unless the groundwork is prepared, you are setting off potentially a nuclear explosion diplomatically if this does not work, because what's the off-ramp? If there are talks and they go nowhere, what is the only solution? Military force? I don't think so.
No.
So talking with North Korea, I think it's essential. We should have started this a long time ago, but I have very little faith in the president's ability to negotiate, and I am really worried that his administration does not have the maturity and the time to come up with a good negotiating position. Though I must say that I hope that there are some people inside who are extremely competent and might be able to provide what's necessary, but at this stage, I am highly skeptical of that.
I, too, am highly skeptical. That opinion, I think, was worth the entire interview. Harlan, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be right back with Dr. George talking about the shortage that we are having right now in the medical industry. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said,
Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?
And I said, sure, Ryan. And in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in.
Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Chatting with Jeff Pontius right now. Jeff is the founder, CEO of a company called Corvus Gold. As I am a full disclosure type of guy, very transparent, I happen to own shares in Corvus Gold. It's a very important company to me, and Jeff is the president of it. We're not talking necessarily about Corvus Gold right now, but we're talking to a guy who has been around the markets basically his entire life. And Jeff made some comments in our daily editorial that I did last week, giving his insights into what was going on in terms of current government actions and how that could affect the stock markets in the U.S. And I'd like Jeff to share that now with all of us, because I think he's spot on. Now, Jeff, to bring us up to speed right now, as of this recording, which is Friday, market close, Dow was up 72 points, far cry from where it used to be, 24,946.51. NASDAQ up 0.25, 74,81.99. S&P up 4.68. 27.52.01, and the VIX, you know, the reflection of volatility was down just a little bit, 15.46. Gold is kind of treading water, for lack of better terms. It's down less than 1%. It's down 0.33%. But my question to you is, in terms of the conventional markets, which really have a big impact on the gold market among investors, I think what the government is doing right now, as you mentioned last week, I think could be very, very negative towards the conventional markets. Your comments?
Yeah, thanks, Al. Well, you know, I like to look at things in a bit longer term sort of view. And, you know, when I look at the broader market and just using the Dow for an example, we can see this unbelievable uptrend that we've been in for literally almost 5 or 6 years of stupendous performance by this market. And then right about the end of we saw what is best interpreted, I think, by the experts here as volatility coming back into the market. More of a normal sort of market that's going to be volatile and have a lot of uncertainty associated with it. And I think that's a direct outcome of government uncertainty when we start talking about tariffs and we start talking about trade wars and we start looking at mechanisms, economic mechanisms, that are unsettling to the market. Now, that said, we are trading like a normal market with volatility, and that's good for gold. It always has been good for gold. If I look at the last 12 months, gold is up about 8%, so it's been on the gold itself as a metal has been on an uptick, and a pretty steady one that's unbroken, really. And then I look at gold equities, which is the vehicle that most of us invest in to get into the gold market and have leverage in the gold market, and they have underperformed the market. And that's really the general gist of what I've experienced here over the last month of attending a lot of meetings and talking to a lot of investment groups, both in Europe and the U.S. and Canada. And they're really looking for equities to come back, true up with the broader gold market. There's about a 20% variance between the two. And then really start to come back into that volatility sector of the broader market and start to benefit from the real safe haven buying that will come in a volatile market. So I think all the pieces are there for this to happen. Certainly, the U.S. government is contributing to the volatility side. I mean, heck, we don't know who's playing on first base or second base.
No, we really don't.
I think it really looks good, Al. I think the fundamentals look really solid to me for gold equities.
Well, you know, Jeff, you and I were chatting, I guess it was last week, a little bit about the conference which you attended down in Florida, major conference, BMO, which is obviously a very large financial institution, runs at a very large investment conference in Florida each year. And you had an opportunity while you were at that conference to chat with a fair amount, take out the word fair, large amount of European investors. And you told me that you felt there was a lot of concern about the conventional U.S. markets from those people. Want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely true, and I think that concern really stems from the European markets themselves being very nervous. We've seen some things happen in Europe that are big picture things that are going to have fundamental impact on how markets perform in Europe. And a lot of these are political issues like Brexit, like the new election in Italy that actually came after that market. But there was concern about the Italian election as well. And as we get more Eurosceptics involved in the European market, there gets to be serious uncertainty, much like the uncertainty we see in the current Trump administration in the U.S. And so I think that when you talk to fund managers, they have to perform. They have to provide return for their investors. And they're always looking for where that next return is going to come from. And the basic feel I got, Al, was that, you know, we're starting to see some rotation into the precious metal sector. And I think that'll come in the form of initially bullion, where we've seen a strong trade in bullion over the last 12 months. And it'll come in the form of equities after the bullion trade. So I think we're ready to see that rotation come into the market.
I got to tell you, Jeff, what's making me more of a gold mug than I have been of late is the fact that, you know, exactly what Harlan Ullman said in segment one today of KER Politics. you brought out the fact that regardless of who the administration consists of right now, regardless of any of that, the main problem that the United States is facing right now is the big D word, the deficit. The deficit, nothing is being done to address the deficit whatsoever. Our annual expenditures are huge. They're not going down any. Any income statement that looks like the income statement of the United States really would not garner much investment, I would have to say. So I think the primary concern that I have right now is the deficit is going nowhere fast, but higher and higher and higher. Give us just a real brief summary. We've only got less than 50 seconds left here. What's going on with Corvus Gold?
Well, I think Corvus is on its way with a new discovery at our Motherlode project, and we're continuing to advance that discovery and make it bigger and better, and that'll be a key asset for one of these equity trades in the gold sector, I think, that have a real opportunity to perform here over the next 12 to 24 months and give some return to the shareholders.
Well, as I said, I am a shareholder in Corvus Gold. I'm going to buy more stock, and when I do, I will give you my standard 5 business day notice. Jeff, it's always a pleasure. Thanks, bud. A lot of financial radio shows like ours have a tendency to stay away from talking with people who are actually involved in the industry, who actually have a company that is a publicly traded company. People can buy stock, and the reason they hesitate to talk to those type of people is because they feel that will lead to front running if they happen to own the stock or if they happen to want to buy the stock in the future. I think the best source of information on topics we discussed today is from people in the industry themselves, and that's exactly, I have to tell you, why we have a full disclosure policy on this particular program. We don't buy any stock or sell any stock whatsoever without giving 5 business days notice. Stick around. I'm going to be right back with Dr. Elena George.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Every industry faces distinguishing challenges and circumstances that shape the business and financial landscape. Camusso CPA LLC delivers unrivaled depth of knowledge and an engaging experience relevant to each client's industry-specific needs. Camusso offers preemptive guidance and knowledge required to achieve your greatest business and personal financial potential. Our approach is based on forging long-term business relationships accompanied by trust and value, creating an ever-important partnership. Build your dedicated financial team with us today. Visit CamussoCPA.com. That's CamussoCPA.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hey, welcome in here to wrap up KER Politics. Chatting with a physician who is located back in Manhattan, where she is right now, although I believe she, if I'm not mistaken, she lives a little bit farther south than that. Her name is Dr. Elena George. Very, very interesting woman. Let me give you a little bit about her background. She's a board certified, I'm going to use the generic term, which is ear, nose, and throat specialist. Graduated from Princeton University with a degree in biology, received a master's degree in medical microbiology from Long Island University, and got her MD from the Mount Sinai School of Medicine. Dr. George, those are some of the best qualifications I have seen in a long, long time. Right now, you are primarily interested in the subject of the supply-demand equation as it exists in the medical community. Can we have some of your thoughts initially on that?
I think it's fair to say that the lack of doctors, and we've been projected to be 105,000 doctors short by the year 2030. Part of that is artificially created. We have thousands of doctors who graduate from medical school every year who cannot match into a residency program. And that means that they'll never practice medicine, although they're qualified because they've graduated and passed their boards from their examining boards from medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And we have doctors sitting there doing other things who could otherwise be working in rural areas, community hospitals, underserved areas, and they're locked out because of government interference by, you know, putting a quota on the number of residency spots nationwide. They could reverse that tomorrow, and that would be an inflow of doctors into the workforce.
Dr. George, why in God's name would the federal government do that? I don't understand.
That's a great question. I don't either, but it's all about control. They control everything about what the doctors do. If you take Medicaid or Medicare, you really understand, have a poignant understanding of how hard it is to be an advocate for your patient. I've had to stop practicing and taking Medicaid and Medicare patients because I don't want them to stop me from taking care of my patients the way I trained to do so.
You know, I got to tell you, doctor, I am in a very interesting situation right now, as we were briefly talking off mic with my wife with a disease that she has. you know, with the fact that about 2.5 years ago I had a stroke. I was very fortunate in the sense that I live in a very small city. You know, for me, going to the grocery store to buy coffee is 45 minutes round trip. But having said that, the only thing that I've seen in terms of the government interference in the medical industry right now is they tell the docs like yourself who are much more highly qualified than they are what they can do and what they can't do, and that's not right in my opinion.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And it's not just the government, it's commercial insurance companies as well.
I think that's
have to follow the money. Follow the money. And you'll understand why the power has shifted, because it's become 1/6 of the economy, right? So whoever controls the pocketbook has the money. And unfortunately, it's no longer the patient.
Isn't that the truth? It's not the patient at all. The patient really has very little say. I don't want to say they have very little say in their care, because I'm not qualified to say that. But I am qualified to say, with all the medical issues I've been through in the past, I guess I'd have to say 3 years, that it is very definitely the government. But I agree with you 100% that it's not really the government, it's the insurance companies. And I have to say, I think that is the big problem with the medical industry in the United States today. Can you elaborate on your feelings on that for me?
I would go further. I would say it's also the hospital system, because they work in tandem. If you really think about what's happened to the healthcare system, it used to be the doctor and the patient, and the insurance companies were outside of that relationship. Now they've inserted themselves as third-party payers. So they pay for the first dollar of healthcare, which I think is a major problem. And they're in the business of controlling access. They save money when you pay a premium and you don't pay out. That's how their system works. And it's the antithesis of what the patient needs. So they're now telling us as physicians, it's not medically necessary, it's experimental. Forget about what our medical societies and our boards tell us. It's insurance companies who have a fiduciary responsibility to their stockholders, not to the patient. So this system is very peculiar, and it needs to be addressed. And part of it is to get the emotion out of it and actually start talking about what's best for the patient. And instead of, if you want to change something, then there's something wrong with you as a physician and you want to hurt somebody. We need to let that argument go, because actually it's the opposite.
Dr. George, I'd like to tell you, I wish to hell I lived in the same city that you practice in, and that's all I can say, because I would love to have someone like you as our family physician. I know I don't have ear, nose, and throat problems, but boy, I have to tell you, I do have some others. Do you think that Trump's predecessor went in the right direction with, for example, with Obamacare? I mean, was that a step in the right direction?
Absolutely not. It doubled down on the most expensive aspects of our healthcare system. You know, we're now in a position where patients are carrying an insurance card, but they can't afford to use it because the out-of-pocket costs are so high. And that's not the answer. I mean, people are still going to the emergency rooms, or they're denying themselves care, or they're not taking medication because they can't afford to pay the premium and the out-of-pocket. So in my opinion, I think this is all designed to be a Trojan horse for single payer. They knew that it wasn't going to work. There was no way you can cover 30 million people, have them pay less and give them more. It was never going to happen. And I think what they wanted for folks to say is, we need help, we want the government to step in and help us, and therefore, bam, you get single payer. But it won't be a Canadian single payer, in my opinion. It will be like an Americanized version, where the insurance companies administer it just like Medicare Advantage, and you're still going to have gatekeeping and pay more and get less.
You know, I have to tell you, I could not agree with you more. I think that medicine is one area that capitalism perhaps is not quite as effective as it could be. Because right now, everyone who I talk with, I have a number of friends, as we were chatting with off mic, in the medical industry, both in terms of being physicians and in terms of being, you know, on the payer system and the rest of it. And I have not met anybody, Dr. George, who would disagree with a single word of what you are saying. A good friend of mine that I went to graduate school with got my MBA with a guy who's a top VP in terms of governmental affairs, retired early because he said, I just can't stand what I'm seeing going on. So the unhappiness that you are expressing right now is not necessarily unique in my opinion. And the answer in your opinion, Dr. George, is what? Just get the government out of it or get the insurance companies out of it?
Actually, I think it's the doctor and the patient who need to take a step away from the system. There's a parallel healthcare system that's based in healthcare consumerism, where there's price transparency, where doctors are having third-party free practices, it's cash only, and that side of healthcare is a fraction of what it costs to access healthcare using your insurance card. You can see any doctor that you want to, and you can see them the same day. So access is not a problem. And that's where innovation is thriving. I do a lot of office procedures in my office for surgery. I don't take my patients to the OR anymore. They're paying less. They're happier. And that's what happens when people are able to use their entrepreneurial, mindset as well as their skills as doctors to make it work for the patient. And patients only need to know that it already exists. You don't have to create the wheel. You don't have to wait for the government to help you. There's direct primary care practices who have a flat fee, a membership, where everything is covered in that visit, whether it be labs, EKGs, the doctor visit, even prescriptions. There's medical cost sharing where they have groups of patients across the country who pool their resources and they pay for each other's health care needs. I belong to one of those. It's called Liberty Health Share. Mm-hmm. And you can access anywhere you want, even leave the country and do medical tourism. That's freedom. And then there's supplemental policies like Aflac, where you can pay anywhere from $15-$20 a month, and you're going to get covered for anything catastrophic, cancer, stroke, heart attack, hospitalization, and they'll cut you a check, no questions asked, based on the diagnosis. I challenge anybody with an insurance card to have that kind of freedom.
Dr. Elena George, we're going to get you back on the show. This is a very, very important subject, and we're running out of time right now. But whenever you have the time in the near future, I'd like to get you back. Thank you so much. Find out more about this new innovative system. It sounds like a good one. We'll be talking about it next week. This week has been great. Thanks for listening.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Bitcoin is losing crypto market share to other digital currencies. Bitcoin's astronomical rise has led to the creation of numerous competitors like Ethereum, Ripple, and Litecoin, which have also seen massive gains in value. According to Quartz, Bitcoin made up 85% of the crypto market 1 year ago, and today it has fallen to 36%. Remember, the only way to win in the casino is to take chips off the table. Call Miles Franklin at 866-485-4346 and let us show you how to quickly turn your Bitcoin into the 5,000-year-old safety of precious metals. Miles Franklin can quickly convert your Bitcoin to precious metals with one phone call at 866-485-4346. That's Miles Franklin celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Fast, easy, safe, and convert your Bitcoin into gold with one phone call.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.